The thing I've learned this year is that infinite banking in the IBC concept will change my life and change my kids' life. I figured this out after reading tons of things and watching lots of videos and talking to lots of people. Banking is the number one industry in the world by far. Think about every podunk town you go to, or the largest city you've been to. The largest building in every city is the bank. All right, today we're going to do something a little bit different. So normally we have a guest on here, but today we're going to sit here and talk. I'm going to talk about the six things that I've learned in the first 6 months of the year. So there's been a lot of different things going on in our lives this year. So from the real estate portion of what we do to family to, because what we try to encompass here is how to be a great parent, how to be a great spouse, how to be a great business person, all in the same way and not work thousands of hours a week so you can be good at all those things. So we're going to talk about the six things that I've learned the first part of this year. Number one, short-term rental is not real estate. Now, you hear people all the time talk about Airbnb this, Airbnb that. I've got one. It's not real estate. It's hospitality. So in the short-term rental game, Airbnb has changed the game in a way of you have to create an experience when people come and stay at your property. So we have Walcox Point, which is a lake property that we bought for our family, but we knew that 25 or 30 weeks a year, we're not going to be there because we have three kids. They play sports. We're doing all the different things in life. So we decided we're going to rent it. Well, you have to put things in place there, and any short-term rental, in my opinion, that create a great experience, because you're extremely dependent on reviews. You're extremely dependent on people telling their friends and things like that. So you have to create great experiences with just little touches. For example, Walcox Point, we have a basket that has board games, cards, I get put marshmallows and s'mores and graham crackers and a lighter and all those things so we don't have to go buy that because it's at the lake and there's a fire pit. You want to create that experience there. Would I do it again? I'm probably not going to get into short-term rental anything outside of this because I love real estate. You guys know that. I just don't love it enough to continue to go down that road. Now, will we continue to be great at short-term rental at Walcox Point? Yes, but I don't want any more of this game. I just don't. It's a little bit too exhausting. It takes up a little bit too much bandwidth. There are people out there that this is their living. If this is their living, great, rock on. It's just not for me. So that's the first thing I've learned this year is that short-term rental is not real estate. It's hospitality. Next thing, let's talk Meal Fit and Table and Time. So most of you know that Meal Fit and Table and Time are the two companies that I own that does mostly catering. We have vending machines with Meal Fit that have been wonderful this year. So we have 12 vending machines scattered about Birmingham and hospitals and office buildings and things like that. It's a wonderful business. So many of you know that we started out in this business doing meal planning and meal prep. First to do it in two different cities. And that's just run its course. I think that there are so many people out there that are doing meal prep from a shipping standpoint. I looked down the shipping road, realized I didn't want to do that. And so what we did is we pivoted. We just pivoted. We got out of meal planning when it became obsolete. We've honestly a little bit obsolete in the meal prep game. And so we got out of that and got into vending machines. And it's been wonderful. Our income has went up a massive amount. And it's not an easier lift. It's just a different lift. And so we've enjoyed that in the meal planning, in the vending machine space. Some of the things I've learned. We've talked about this in previous videos and previous things. In any business you have, whether you're in banking, whether you're in landscaping, whether you're in painting, contracting, a plumber, an electrician, a bug guy, whatever. Rule number one, call people back quickly. So I'm sitting there watching the Super Bowl one night on the back deck. My family's over here. I'm watching the Super Bowl. I get a text from one of my best friends, Mark. Mark says, hey, are you interested in this? And he shows me a screenshot of a guy that said, hey, our business needs a lot of food catered over the next 5 weeks. Know anybody? I said, yes, I'm interested. So he gives me the number. I text the guy right then watching the Super Bowl. I text him right then and say, hey, guy's name's Brad. Hey, Brad. Yeah, I'm interested. I got the high level details. When's the first time you can talk? He goes, tomorrow morning, I'm available at 5:00. At 5:15, we are talking while I'm at the gym and he is doing whatever he's doing. We seal a deal less than 10 hours later at 5:15 in the morning. I was aggressive. I called him back. I didn't push the sale, but I called the guy back. And that sale ended up being over $100,000 for our business. Call people back. The next thing is go above and beyond when you do anything. If you screw something up, it's okay because it gives you a chance to go above and beyond to make that thing right. So sometimes mistakes are a good thing. They can be a good thing because people can see how you handle that mistake and how you went above and beyond in that situation. The last thing is it's okay to say no. I can't tell you how many times we've said no this year because our team was getting overwhelmed and it was a situation where the money would have been okay, but the money wasn't great. And we just said, hey, we're not going to do that thing right now because I don't want to get the team overwhelmed. Now, obviously in the times of the year when you're slow, you take just about anything you can get, but in sometimes you can say no. Being able to say no is okay. Don't feel like you have to say yes to everything. That's number two. Number three, money has to work. So when you create wealth and you create any excess, you have to take any of that excess and you have to get that money to work because money's job is to bring friends. When your money goes out, make sure it's brings back friends. Your job of money is to create more money. That's part of the reason why you work is to create wealth so that your money can work for you and you can do things, anything that you want to, because ultimately time is the biggest freedom that we have. So money has to work. So how have we made our money work? Number one, we've had two different deals with a company called LandX where we buy big plots of land, we take the land and we parcel it out. So let's say I buy 100 acres and we parcel it out into 100 one-acre plots. We sell those one-acre plots and we make the difference off that. Now, this is Costco. I can go to a Coke machine and buy a Coke for a dollar. Well, the people that filled that Coke machine up went to Costco and they bought a case of 48 Cokes and it cost them 25 cents. The Coke costs 25 cents. There's a spread, what they call a spread of 75 cents. We're buying the case of Cokes when we buy these big plots of land and we're selling off the individual Coke. Well, that's what we've done. We've done that twice with LandX. So we did that once with LandX in a property in Midland, Texas, and we made right at 30% on our money in a little less than a year. That's pretty stinking good. So that's the first thing we did with LandX. The second thing we did with LandX was that the back end of 2023, which is middle of 2024 right now, is we're going to end up making 25, right around 30% in about 9 months on our money because we took 3,000 acres and we broke it up and we sold off the plots and make money that way. I didn't do anything for that besides transfer money, and I'm gonna make 30% on my money both times. You gotta figure out a way to get your money, any excess money that you have, to get working. When you can do that and you can cycle that money through enough times, you can have really, really good returns. Get your money to working. Don't let it sit in the bank. You need a little bit there just for emergencies, but for the most part, your money needs to be working. Number four. So we've talked a lot about the business part of different things. Number four, this year's been a dip for us in our marriage. We got three kids, 15, 12, and 8. Has our marriage been bad? No. It's just been difficult because of the way life is. And my wife explained it to me this way. Things are really, really great when you get married. And then all of a sudden, as you start having kids, things get more difficult because the spouses don't pay attention to each other as much as they probably have in the past. And so you think something's wrong. Nothing's wrong. It's just this thing called life. Now, do you want to continue to be better in that marriage? Absolutely you do. But the dip, the hard part about anything we do is going to make us stronger on the back end. Great example, football. That's the world I know because I coached college football for 10 years. Hard part is January to August. The training, the early mornings, the late nights, the hot, the cold, all those things. That's the hard part because you're not seeing any reward. The easy part's the game because you've beat up on each other for so long and you've lifted the weights and you've done the running and you've done the hitting and all that stuff. Easy part is the game. So there's a dip in every season of life. The hard part about marriage is getting through the dip successfully where someone doesn't do something cataclysmic that screws up the whole thing and knowing that you're in the dip and embracing the fact that it's hard and you're going to get through it. And on the back end of it, it will make the marriage better. It's hard. We're in the season. Some days are really, really great. Some days are not as great, but we know where we're at and we're continuing to try to the best we can to love each other. The next thing is I'm a selfish person. The more older I get, the more I realize I'm selfish in the things I like. In order to make this thing called marriage work, I got to do more for her and not expect a whole lot in return. The hardest part is when I don't get the things that I think I deserve, I don't get resentful. It's so hard. I can't resent my spouse for anything. I've got to go in with a non-expectation that the things I do will get returned. It's difficult, but it's something that we can continue to work on. All right, number five, embrace every day with your kids. We go through seasons right now where I've got a daughter playing pretty high level travel volleyball and on the high school team. I got a son that's playing doing wrestling and football, and I got an 8-year-old that's trying to figure out her way. We're going to a lot of different practices, a lot of different things, a lot of different games. We got to embrace those times when we're sitting in the stands watching a kid, in the car rides going to watch that kid, those kids. Just get off the screens and love our kids. Ask them questions. have them ask you questions. Take your kids on 45-minute dates to ice cream or whatever. Figure out a way to spend time with them. You only got them 18 years, and it goes by fast. My 15-year-old right now, I cannot believe she's 15 years old. I remember bringing her home from the hospital. I know this sounds really like esoteric and everything, but it's true. So I'm trying to embrace, trying not to work as much at home, trying to embrace every minute I can with all three of these kids. Lastly, the thing I've learned this year is that infinite banking in the IBC concept will change my life and change my kids' life. I figured this out after reading tons of things and watching lots of videos and talking to lots of people. Banking is the number one industry in the world by far. Think about every podunk town you go to or the largest city you've been to. The largest building in every city is the bank. You go to Trustful. The largest, nicest, coolest building in Trustful is Bryant Bank. It's beautiful. You go to New York City. The largest buildings in the city are the banks. You go to downtown Birmingham. The largest, tallest building in downtown Birmingham, they're banks. These guys have a lock on how to do business because your money goes in, they take your money, they send it back out, just like we talked about in number three. They take your money, but they take their money and they send it back out, and they make the difference on that money. That is a business that is as old as the day is long. And figuring out how to be in the banking business has changed my life. It's allowed us to build a system at our home to where in probably the next 4 or 5 years, I will not need a bank because my banking system, my infinite IBC, my infinite banking policies will allow us not to have to go to the bank and borrow money. We can borrow from ourselves. Can I get into that situation right now? No. But knowing and understanding that banking, IBC concept, infinite banking concept is a life-changing thing. It will change my life, but it will also change my kids' life. My goal is to get it to where my kids, especially my two younger kids, never have to use a bank. They can use the bank of our family, their own bank, because they have policies themselves that they will use and they will have. But the biggest thing is teaching them. It's changed my life. It's going to change my kids' life, and it's going to be something that is that I've learned this year that it's I think is extremely valuable. Something I wish I would have known at 25. So this is the six things I've learned in the first 6 months. I don't know if you enjoyed this episode, please let me know. I've had a wonderful, wonderful time going through and learning through all these different things, and it's been great. The last thing that I wanted to say, and I missed this, the last thing I wanted to say is one of the things that's been cool about this year is, this is a side note, is we started a fund where we take people's money, because one of the biggest questions I get, I've got asked this question 10 or 15 times this year. Hey, Thomas, I just got this amount of money. What should I do with it? Somebody gets a $40,000 bonus, or they inherit 70 grand, or they got a severance of 80 grand because they left their job and they got a new job 6 weeks later, whatever. What do I do with all this money? I got an answer. We started an income fund where we take people's money. It's called alternative investing. It's not market investing, but we take people's money and we loan that money to people that are doing real estate transactions. They have end buyers in place. They take the money. We give you a return on the money you let us use. We make a little bit on the back end, but we take your money and we can give you 10 to 12% on your money. So you give me 100 grand, I can give you $10,000 a year or up to $12,000 a year, and you can even get that paid back quarterly, or you can let it compound quarterly. Crazy. But it's a wonderful opportunity we've got. I want to say a little over $700,000 under management right now, and we're looking for more so that we can help these real estate people, because the banks are getting finicky right now and it's all collateralized extremely safely. That's what we've learned in the first 6 months. I could go through 15 things. These are the six things as I was going through this that popped out in my mind that we've learned. It's been a wonderful 6 months. We're looking forward to the next 6 months. There's a lot of things going on. If you have any questions about any of this stuff, please let me know. I'd love to answer anything that you guys have about any of this. If you want to get in touch about the income fund, please let me know. Anything at all, I'd love to answer any questions that you have. I hope you enjoyed this 15 or 16 minutes of the Owner's Table podcast. Thanks, guys.